Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the 10th of November, 2021. We got a wonderful guest for you today. Actually, two guests from what's called the Institute for Multisensory Education. And that would be its president, Jean Giup, who's just wonderful to listen to, talk all about reading. And one of her trainers, Cindy Mouse, who's the district trainer for Garrett County Public Schools in Oakland, Maryland. I don't know where Oakland is. We'll find out today. We're going to find out all about this great and necessary group that consults and helps with reading, professional development, and training. All right, we're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. That's where all of our shows, our magazine, Equity and Access, is located, and there's a link there to our social-emotional learning site called seltoday.org. If you want to go right over there, you can do it from ace-ed.org. Jean, are you there?
I'm here, Larry. Thank you for having me.
Hi. My pleasure. We're going to spend a wonderful half hour together here. Okay, talking. And Candy, are you there? Did I say Cindy before? I meant Candy. Did I say? What did I say?
That's okay. It happens. And yes, I'm
here. Sorry.
Wrong vowel.
I'm sorry. It's Candy Mouse, not Cindy Mouse, which is great.
And that's okay. We can help you.
I know you can with reading and vowels and all that. So that's funny. That's good. By the way, I have to ask, where's Oakland, Maryland? I don't know where that is.
Well, most people think of Baltimore and then travel all the way west to the end of Maryland, and we are what's called Western Maryland in Garrett County with Maryland's Playground with the Four Season Resorts.
Oh, cool. And what is right above you in Pennsylvania? What city would that be? Or whatever.
We are directly below Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Okay, that helps me. That puts it in perspective, being from Philly. Okay? So that part of the world doesn't actually exist for Philadelphians. Thank you. Thank you, Candy. Okay? Good to have you. Tell us. Thank you. And Jean, tell us about the Institute for Multisensory Education, IMSE.com. Go. Do it. Jean.
Do it. All right, Larry, thank you. Well, the Institute for Multisensory for Education has been around for 25 years, and our motto is that we are teachers teaching teachers. You know, we have been the leading professional development for structured literacy, you know, across this country, you know, working with some of the largest and most complex school districts. It's a graduate level course, so it's a week-long training program. It's 30 hours. It's built on, like, the five pillars of the core curriculum, which is necessary to teach reading. And those five pillars are knowing phonemic awareness, phonics, fluency, vocabulary, comprehension. We also work with oral language and writing and spelling as a complete curriculum to teach teachers how to teach children how to read. The great thing about our program is that, you know, we're a national training company. We have trainers all over this country, going into school districts live and teaching them, as well as doing live virtual trainings. We don't have any asynchronous type of instruction in terms of core curriculum. And we can work with teachers, whether they're one-on-one or small group or a whole class.
That's pretty cool. And your training, if I may, I just have to ask this, elementary school teachers, correct?
Yes, actually, you know, I mean, our focus is definitely elementary. We have many different types of training. So we work with parents as well. We work with high school special ed and middle school special ed. But our focus for us was we wanted to get into the general population. We knew that this was given to children who were going through the special ed program, but it really wasn't accessible for all teachers and children.
And Jean, I must ask this, you know, every teacher went to a college, especially elementary school teachers, they were taught reading, okay? Obviously, and I had that did a show on this almost the same subject with Aldine, Texas yesterday, that school district. They had the same challenge. Are the colleges of education doing a good job on teaching future teachers how to read, how to teach reading, excuse me?
I hope now, but I can't say in the past they have. I think there's been a huge gap in teacher preparedness. I feel as though not only, you know, at the college and university level, whether it be in your master's or your reading curriculum at a doctorate level, the science of reading was not present. Like, nobody was following the science. a lot of school districts had pre-purchased programs or pre-purchased curriculums, and that's what school districts were using. And so whatever they were being taught at the university, at least what I was taught, was whole language. Okay, I was taught that you immerse children into literature and language, and they will eventually deduce how to read and the patterns and how to spell and all of those things. But the science has proven that that's not true, that we need an explicit, direct instruction of how to teach children how to read.
The science of reading, as we all like to say these days, and it is indeed a science. And I have to say this, I say it all the time, I consider teaching people to read to be the miracle of elementary school. Okay, and I speak that from my own experience when I was a kid. You know, you go in, you don't know how to read, okay, and then suddenly you do. And I'm talking
right.
Years ago. You know, it's just it's astounding, that gift of literacy that elementary school teachers give is so amazing. And if it's not taught right, we got real problems, okay? We got real problems, and obviously that third grade thing really matters. How many districts does IMSE work with, schools, districts, however you want to say that?
Yeah.
I know they work with Garrett County Public Schools. We're going to get to Candy in a minute. But how many districts have you worked with over the course of time?
Yeah, I mean, for us to put a number on that is a little bit difficult, but I can tell you just within the past 5 years, we're working with 5,000 schools. Just in this past year, we've trained 25,000 educators.
Wow.
What is amazing is because of the pandemic, we were able to reach more teachers, accessibility to get trained. And so I found that as, you know, one silver lining in the pandemic, I guess.
Yeah.
Accessibility.
Well, that's actually, you know, we have to look at some of the silver linings of the pandemic. Behind every dark cloud, as they say, and that was a dark cloud, but good things came out of it. Unfortunately, I don't want to discount all the death and illness and everything else, but that's good. And it's just incredible. I'm amazed when you and I haven't crossed paths before this. So it's so good to have you on the show. I got to tell you, it's just amazing. You guys have been around for a long time. Obviously, you started this when you were 8. That's how you got to be 25 years in this. Candy, when you go in, not Cindy, Candy Moused, okay, you live out there, okay? You're working with Garrett County Public Schools. When you say you're working with them, what are you in your training? What do you do? How's that work?
Well, Larry, I get to be in front of our brand new teachers because we've already trained the rest of our remaining staff, and I actually deliver the instruction, whether it's in our comprehensive program, which covers the foundational pieces with going C through all the way through all of the graphemes that we need to teach, making those connections, teaching them the processes on how to deal with what we term red words and the irregular patterns, looking at the etymology of it at a very young age. I get the joy of teaching intermediate, which goes into the morphology, really looking at how to build that vocabulary, because we know that is key in that upper elementary to predict their comprehension later in life.
Mm.
And then at the very base of the language, I get to train them in phonological awareness. And you want to talk about eye-opening and creating teacher excitement.
I'm sure.
You should see their faces when they're like, why did I not know this before? Simple terms like co-articulation, and they don't understand how that creates some of those spelling errors that we see where students will say instead of truck, C-H-R is how they'll spell it.
Wow.
And it's just really giving them the knowledge and preparing teachers for how to correct some of those errors with our students.
Candy, I'm going to ask the same question. How come they didn't know this before? How come nobody showed it to them before? What's going on out there, Candy?
Well, Larry, unfortunately, we've been in a balanced literacy approach for so long where it was expected that the phonics would be taught implicitly. And phonics, just like Dean said, when I went through school all those years ago when I was 8, you know, they did not teach us explicit phonics and show us how to share that knowledge with our students. And when you look at where that research comes from, no one was sitting around reading a neurology report or a psychology report or a medical report on how the brain works and how this learning has to be connected from the phonological to all of that, yeah.
You know, you just summed it up in a nutshell, how the brain works, all right? And that's why there's this thing these days now called, quote, the science of reading, okay? And I can only speak from my experience. By the way, I'm from Pennsylvania. I went to Westchester State many thousands of years ago, okay? But my ring, my class ring, which I, of course, lost many thousands of years ago, okay, my school ring said BS on one side for a Bachelor of Science, okay? And people forget that education is a science. I honestly believe teaching is an art. Okay, but education is a science, and we have the neuroscience on how people learn, okay? We know we're starting to get that and understand that it's science, okay? And what you just said, now that we know how the brain works, let's change everything and teach according to how the brain works, since that's what we're trying, that's the muscle we're trying to develop is the brain. Okay, it's pretty simple. Okay, I got to tell you, I find it just astounding that we're still having this aggravation. On that note, Gene, let me go back to you. Okay, we are the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education, mm-hmm. And I know there's a connection between the learning to read and equity. Okay, I don't know anything about Garrett County Public Schools or what schools you, but there's an equity balance in there. Am I correct, Gene? Help me out.
Yes.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yes. Sure. Yep. I mean, I think it's in terms of investing monies into professional development, having the resources to implement a program, having, you know, the support that all teachers need, and the time that it takes to really have quality training. And not do, you know, a six-hour professional development day and think that you're an expert.
Yes. Thank you very much. Okay, it really is. And I want to ask again, you said this was a graduate-level 30-hour course.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you guys go in to a school? Use Garrett County. You go into Garrett County, you spend 30 hours there and leave? Or is it an ongoing thing? I'll ask Gene that one, since you're the boss.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the wonderful thing about IMSD is that, you know, we go in, whether we do it face-to-face live for 30 hours, but with the live virtual, we can do it once a week for 6 hours a day for 5 weeks.
Wow.
You know, we have that flexibility. We do it on weekends for teachers because we know that they don't have the subs to come in and help.
Yeah,
that
they
we
don't.
Have made it. We have made it equitable for the teachers to really get quality training and not to have it during their classroom time that they have to be away from their children, especially when they've been away sometimes for a year and a half in some places. But we not only go in and support them in the classroom or whether we're doing it live virtual, we also have a practicum that people can apply to that they're with an instructor, a master instructor, to make sure that they are doing, having the not only the flexibility of implementing the program, but the validity of the program and making sure they're doing it, you know, authentically. We also have videos. We have district leaders such as Candy. She's a district leader. So she goes in and she's training her district, coaching them, mentoring them. And that's really an extension of NZ is having these district leaders.
Why do you call it the Institute for Multisensory Education? That's very cool. But what's multisensory got to do with it?
Well, I mean, back in the 1960s, Jeannie Chawl, who was a researcher, you know, who talked about the Great Debate, and she talked about, you know, how to learn how to read, you know, talked about a code emphasis, you know, was effective for all learning, for reading achievement, and that it's being multimodal. So some children need to use all their modalities, seeing things, touching things.
Thank you.
And so
multisensory
was really important to making sure that we're making connections with children, because I don't know about you, Larry, I'm super visual. So just talking to you on the phone is a little complicated for me. I'm a visual person. I like to see
just
things,
imagine. I can make that easy. Just imagine I look like Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
No problem.
Perfect.
You hear that, Candy? Just imagine I look like Brad Pitt.
Oh, I did. I'm visualizing.
Yeah, there you go. Now you got it. It's a perfect picture. Gene, glad you were talking about visual. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, just with visual is that, you know, I like to see things. So when people tell me things, sometimes I might not make those connections as quickly as I would if I was visually seeing them.
You're right.
So what we do is all the modalities at once. So whatever your weakness is, we're going to capitalize on your strength. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense, and it's very well said. I got to tell you, that's really, really interesting, and I can't believe it's been around for 25 years. It's the first I heard of it. I'm really embarrassed about that. It's really, how'd you learn about it, Candy? Were you a teacher who used it, or what happened, Candy?
Well, Larry, that's an interesting story because our district decided we had to make a change. We weren't making the reading growth that we needed. So they researched and they found IMSE online, and I didn't have a seat at the table. So I called the special ed director who arranged all this, and I said, please, I'm teaching special ed right now as a teaching principal. Let me go. I know the power of this program. And as soon as I went, I drank the Kool-Aid. At the training, I looked at my director and said, I want to be a trainer in this. This is powerful. We need it full-time in Garrett County.
Yeah, but in this case, the Kool-Aid was really good Kool-Aid. It was summertime, and it was really good. This was good Kool-Aid.
Oh, when I sat through just our three-part drill and heard them dictate the sounds where they'll say, eyes on me, the sound is book, and then the student has to write the letter B says book, I was like, why have I never known this in all of my years of teaching? This is such a strong connection. We've always flashed the cards and made the students identify the letter and make the sound, but never isolated the sound and made them produce the letter. It was amazing.
And I'll start with Candy. Candy, you talked to, by the way, were you at Garrett County Schools? Is that where you were, a teacher?
Yes. I was a teaching principal because that's part of what we do. We're a very small district.
Good.
So that's,
I like that. That's fine.
I've never left the teaching world because I know the power of being in front of the students and delivering and then being able to communicate effectively with teachers. So when I went to take this training, I knew that it was something my students needed, that I absolutely had to go back and get them prepared and provide them with the knowledge in order to make sure that we could increase our reading skills. But the excitement that it brought was incredible.
And are you still with the district, or are you strictly a trainer with IMSE now?
Actually, I am still with my district. I just left my teaching principal role to become the supervisor of English Language Arts, Social Studies, and Media, so that I could continue to work and increase our coaching capacity to support IMSE's program within our schools.
They must love you there, and I can see why. Okay, that's great. Okay, that is a lovely story. I got to tell you, as you talk to your teachers, and you kind of gave us a hint of it a few minutes ago, but you train the teachers, you work with the IMSE program, okay? IMSE, you like to say IMSE, don't you, Jean? Is it IMSE?
Yes.
Is
it? Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I wrote it IMSE, IMSE.com. Okay, IMSE, all right? So what's the reaction, okay? Beyond their look of surprise, which is bad enough right there that they weren't taught this to begin with, okay, over the course of time, all right, Candy, what do you hear back? In other words, 30 hours, a lot of training, everybody gets it, but over the course of the time, what happens as you hear, keep getting feedback? Candy.
During the training, you know, there's a lot of professional development out there for teachers, and a lot of times you'll go to a professional development and they'll say, I knew all of that. Why am I here? And almost every single teacher says to me, this is the best training I have ever had. I walk away with the materials and the ability to go in and implement what I've learned tomorrow. Every single process is on something we call as a flip chart. It goes step by step. They don't have to second guess what they're doing, and there's comfort in having that level of knowledge and preparedness that they're able to go back, and then the excitement begins, Larry. They see their students succeeding and reading in a time when they had a lack of skills that created such frustration for those teachers, and to be able to help those students turns on that light of reading, that magic that happens in the classroom with this. And then the motivation begins, and you see the tasks become easier, and they start down the road of success.
That's a lovely way to put it. I got to ask you, and Gene, let me go back to you. I want to focus on something for a minute or two, and that is, you know, I taught social studies junior high and high school, middle school and high school. I'm showing my age, but it was junior high back then. Okay, and out of curiosity, you know, I was a social studies teacher. I paid no attention to whether kids could read or not. Zero, nada. Okay, nothing. Okay, and it made me and every other subject teacher. We just didn't worry that much. We just assumed they could read. All right. And I'm curious, as you would have you worked with or talked to department heads so that other teachers, those who aren't necessarily involved in reading education, can understand the basics of this for their subject area? Gene.
Yes, that's a great question, Larry. We have worked with some districts that have trained all of their teachers, whether it be a science teacher or a social studies teacher and even a gym teacher. And some teachers can embrace that, and some teachers have a difficult time of seeing how this is going to fit in with them. You know, it's difficult at a middle school level to have, you know, breakout sessions and teaching children how to read, right? You know, we need to have some type of support for these children. I find it valuable for all teachers to really have this insight of knowing and understanding a systematic, cumulative, sequential program, and like the how and the why children learn how to read, right? And empowering them with the tools. So whether they want to, maybe they could tutor children, maybe they could do an after school program, maybe, you know, at least they have that knowledge that if they can support them in any way in that general classroom, you know, they have the tools to do so. And, you know, of course, I find it beneficial. I mean, I've taught adults how to read who have never learned how to read, who have successful business.
That's wonderful.
I mean, those are the stories that empower you and keep you going, because you're making a difference. You're making an impact. And all of these teachers out there are making a tremendous impact and a difference with these children and teaching them how to read.
You know, it's amazing when we talk about the old three R's. And by the way, the only one of the three R's that actually begins with an R is reading. Okay, just everybody remember that. Okay?
I do.
Reading, writing, arithmetic. Okay? Okay. The point being, just understanding what reading entails, all right, and not taking it for granted for both you and your students just because you can read, all right, would be very beneficial to every single teacher, because they have to understand the importance and what goes into teaching kids how to read, and not just, you know, blame it on another teacher. Oh, the kid can't read. You know, that's the elementary school's fault. No, okay. This is the basis of literacy, and that's really what we're doing. I know teachers intrinsically understand that, but most subject teachers don't understand the science of reading. And I think a basic in that would be incredibly, incredibly important. And just out of curiosity, because we kind of had to wind down in a few minutes, Gene, I'm going to ask you, what are the big obstacles that kids face in learning to read? Okay, as you've done this for so many years now, what's the obstacle? I know one of them, I'll give you one, is low-income houses. They don't have enough books in the house when the kids are young, so they're not introduced to that at the very beginning. But that's an obvious one. What are some of the other things you see, the obstacles out there, Gene?
I mean, unfortunately, 53% of adults, meaning 16 to 70, do not know how to read at grade level. And that's like at fifth grade reading level.
And so...
That's an obstacle. That's a huge obstacle that we have to overcome. We have, unfortunately, we have curriculums that are pre-purchased, as I said, that teachers, you know, and so the students are the ones who are suffering with that. I think accessibility, like I said, of having access to materials, having access to professional development for their teachers, you know, and guidance and support. You know, I teach, like I said, sometimes just some teachers need that support ongoing. You know, they need to be shown how to implement this with with fidelity. They need to see the successes. They need to see videos, and they need, you know, their administration to also support them of what they're doing. I think a lot of school districts are kind of going after the new shiny object of what's out there, and are taking many different types of professional development, and we'll do this, and the next year they'll do this. And I think that's a huge obstacle. Number one, it's an obstacle for the teachers because they don't really know what they have to put their energy and focus into.
Good point.
And so I think this is really, you know, I think during this pandemic was another silver lining, and I'm not sure if you have heard about this, but in 2019, right before the pandemic or during the pandemic, Emily Hanford, I'm not sure if you've heard this name, but she is with the American Public Media, and she published this article that was called At a Loss for Words. And I'll tell you, that is what sparked this whole system to pause and reflect and move forward, because it was calling out what's not working and what do we need to do that we've been talking about since the 1960s. I mean, when I started, when I was a teacher back at 31 years ago, they were talking about brain scans. We were talking about children not learning how to read and what we needed to do. We just kept doing what we knew what to do, which is do a systematic, explicit reading approach, right? But there was a flaw in the teaching system, okay? And Emily Hanford, I think, brought this to the surface, wreaked a little bit of havoc out there, and pushing the envelope. And I think this is what really got people talking about making a difference, really changing what you were teaching out there. And I think this is why we are where we are right now. And it's exciting. I hate to say it. It's super exciting.
I agree with you absolutely. This is an exciting time. This is a very exciting time. We're finally figuring out that there's a science behind this, okay, and that we were doing it wrong. And, that, again, I hate to say this, that's one of the good things to come out of this stinking pandemic, okay, and hopefully even more will come out of it. Ladies, we got to go. You two are terrific. You're a good tag team. You should start wrestling. It's incredible. You're good.
Thank you, Larry, for having us.
No, believe me, my pleasure. We'll do more. I'll stay in touch, and you guys stay in touch with me. Okay, Candy Mouse and Gene Gipp, thank you. From IMSE, the Institute for Multisensory Education, IMSE.com. Check it out, everybody. Thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, the amazing Candy and Gene show. There you go, IMSE.com. Check it all out. I'm Larry Jacobs. Everything we do is at sa-ed.org and also at seltoday.org. Thanks for listening.